Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It's good to see you all here this morning, and we wish a special thanks to, and I should say a greeting to those who are visiting with us this morning. Thanks for being here, and we pray that you would see Jesus with us this morning as we gather together in Him through the Spirit to bring our prayer and praise to the Father in heaven. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements this morning. First of all, again, a thank you to all of our musicians who are playing for us this morning, and especially Anjali, who's going to be helping us out with some special music today. Thank you to all of you. It's a blessing always to have you with us playing. Also, Christmas goodie bags provided by the Women's Ministry are being passed out to the children after this morning's service. It says Merry Christmas, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be so merry for me. Goodie bags to children after service. Get it? I'm sorry. I was trying to be humorous, and it didn't work. The sugar high in my, yeah. I'll stop joking. There's healthy snacks. Okay, I'll just be quiet. We're having, let's see, no Sunday school next week. So we had no Sunday school this week, so no more Sunday school this following week. Glenn has a couple announcements he wants to make before I finish with the final announcements.
Good evening. We will have a nursery from 3:30. We will start at Pride Living and Park Place from 4:45 to 3:30, so 4:15. Then we have our soup supper at 5:30 to
Thank you, Glenn. Yeah, so we're going to begin doing some Christmas caroling tonight, or this afternoon at 3:30. You can see the information there in your bulletin, and then we're having our soup supper here at 5:30 this evening afterwards. A few other announcements as well. Just a prayer request. Marilyn Noble will go in for surgery Wednesday of this week to have a pacemaker put in. So be in prayer for Marilyn as she goes and prepares for that surgery. Also, our condolences to Jeremy in the passing of his aunt, who we prayed for recently. She passed away on Wednesday, his aunt Joanne. She's in glory now and resting from the pain from the cancer. So we are thankful for that, but also our condolences to you, Jeremy, in this time. Also, we had a very exuberant thank you for all the gifts under the tree that you all gave. The family that received them was overjoyed. So there was lots of thank you, tell them thank you. So just, yeah, again, remember the Spirit is at work in those ways too. And finally, if y'all could help maybe with putting up some tables after the sanctuary for our soup supper, I was asked to remind you of that as well. And then also, not forgetting, least not least, we have our Christmas Eve service on Christmas Eve tomorrow at 5:30, and we're going to be celebrating Michaela Chalmers' baptism as well. So be sure to come for that. It'll be a special service, a candlelight service, tomorrow at 5:30. With all these things in mind, let's stand now for our call to worship this morning, which we will do responsively. I will begin, and you will respond in the bold. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Let's sing now our opening song of worship, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And as we come into God's presence with these festal hymns of praise, hailing the newborn King, we hear God's blessing to us this morning, God's greeting to us this morning as we enter into his temple. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. God greets us with those words this morning. You may be seated now as we ponder together our Advent reading. Brothers and sisters, hearing that good news again that we are received because of Jesus, that drives us to our knees to confess our sins to our Father in heaven. We don't come and confess our sins out of slavish fear to our Father. We come knowing that he will forgive our sins. And so we are driven to say our prayer of confession together, saying together in unison, Almighty Father, we know that we ate the cursed fruit in Adam and Eve. We feel the curse every day. Speak a word of blessing to us this morning and forgive us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the God of all grace and peace assures us of his favor this morning. The one who has called us into his presence, called us out of the world to be his church. He assures us of the good news again this morning. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, says the Apostle Paul, that each one of us is a sinner for whom Christ came into the world to die. And the Apostle John assures us that if we confess our sins, God, Jesus himself, is faithful to forgive us from all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, brothers and sisters, having confessed your sins this morning, hear Jesus' word to you. You are forgiven. Your sins are washed away. I bore them on my body on the cross so that you might be dead to all that is evil and alive to all that is good. And having heard that good news of peace, that we are right with the God that we meet in worship, let's get up now again and let's greet each other in Christ's name and let's pass that peace on. Yeah.
verses, but don't groan, because we'll just divide it up. The second verse, the men will sing. The third verse, the women will sing, and they will all join in on the chorus.
You may be seated. It's time now for us to gather our hearts in that newborn King by the power of the Holy Spirit and to bring our prayer as a church here in Lamar's, to our Father in heaven. Will you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you and we do praise your name for Christ the King, the newborn King, the one whose birth we celebrate in the coming days, the sending of the Messiah, the Christ Mass, into the world. Father, without that moment, we would still be under the curse. We would still be struggling in the darkness, but now there is hope and light and life for Jesus' sake. Lord, we pray that you would reveal that light and life to those among us struggling in different ways this morning. Lord, we think of many who are ill in our church. Lord, we pray that you would be with Marilyn Noble as she prepares for surgery. We pray that the pacemaker would go in easily, there would be no complications. Lord, we pray for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra, that you would drive away the bone cancer, that you would heal her. We pray for Greg Smith, that his treatments would continue to be effective and that you would give him remission as well. Lord, we pray for Glenda Hoffland. We pray that she can get the special vest that she needs to help her with her lung issues. Smooth the way on that, we pray. We pray for all of our shut-ins right now. We think of Ken Van Grau, Audrey Van Grau, Jan Sneller, Denise Maskbergen, Margaret Hopp, Patty Ritsma, Frank Vandenbosch. Lord, would you be near to them this morning, we pray. Lord, we pray for Jeremy's family right now in the passing of his Aunt Joanne. Give grace and peace at that funeral. Lord, we've had a couple other funerals as well in the past week here in our midst. We think of Karen DeLapp's family, and we pray for them in the time of the passing of her grandmother. We think of Jason Orban's family and the passing of his brother. Be with each of them and give them a sense of your blessing and your peace this morning. Lord, we think of those who are brokenhearted in the pew right now, for whom the sins of this world have overwhelmed them, either their own sins or the sins of others against them. Would you be near to them this day? Would you give them a father's love? Cover them with your spirit. Lord, we also pray for our missionaries this morning. We think of the Havlicheks and the Michelsons who labor in very different places, seeking to do very different things, but at the same time united in the goal and purpose of spreading the good news of the Christ child. Bless their efforts. Lord, we follow the Apostle Paul's teaching that we are to pray for our government and our leaders. We pray, Lord, for our leaders on the national level, the state level, and here locally in Lamar's, that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them righteousness, and Lord, that they would bow the knee to you, and that they would confess you as the true King of the world, the King born in a lowly manger centuries ago. Lord, we bring all of these cares and joys and concerns before you in Jesus' name. We are your sons and daughters in him, and so we pray to you as sons and daughters, saying together the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask our deacons to come forward and to take our morning offering.
are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading this morning comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, and also our sermon text this morning. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we like to read the gospel reading from the center of the people of God because it symbolizes that God has put his name on us, the name of Jesus, the one who came down among us, not far away, but in our very midst, who took on human flesh. So hear the words of the story of Jesus near to you, in your very heart. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear," literally the fruit of your belly. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed or happy is she who has believed what the Lord would that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of the Lord, to which we say, "Praise to you, Lord Christ."
Thank you.
Well, we continue our Advent series this morning in the Gospel of Luke, the story of Mary going to Elizabeth's house, a story we've often heard before, no doubt. But would you pray with me this morning that once again we would hear that story in a new way, that story would become our story? Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Father, we would see Jesus. Holy Spirit, we would see the Son. Holy Son, we would glimpse you. In this moment, Triune God, come among us. Bring us into your presence by the Spirit and turn all of our eyes upon Christ. Open my mouth that I might speak wonderful things in your gospel, your law, that I would leave behind all of my agendas and all that I want. And that your word may be preached in sincerity and truth. Come down among us, tear the heavens, because if you are not here, it will be nothing. Nothing. But if you are here, it will be everything. So be with us. Open our hearts. We pray for Jesus' sake, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Well, as we've all heard the old story go, Eve, our foremother, looked at the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with desire, a desire that it would make one wise. And all the while, the serpent's forked tongue flickering in her ear, you will become like God. And with her deadbeat husband standing nearby, watching to see if she would die, she took the fruit, and it was bitter in her mouth, and it was bitter in the mouth of her husband. A curse that neither one of them could have imagined. A curse as it slid down into their bellies. The curse of death. The grim reaper with his sharpened scythe entering in that verdant garden, haunting what had been paradise. A curse. Cursed the snake, cursed the ground, pain in childbearing, a cursed relationship between husband and wife, symbolizing a cursed relationship between all peoples, and most cursed of all, life with death. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, curse to curse. God kicking them out of the garden because of that poisoned fruit, because of that cursed fruit. The angel with the flashing sword to keep them from the garden so that they might not stretch forth their hand and as cursed creatures eat from the tree of life and live forever as the damned, the cursed. You know, sometimes I think we can feel the truth of those old stories in our very bones. Sometimes we can just feel the curse. We can't always put our finger on it, but it lingers there. That sense of death hovering just out of the corner of our eye. That curse in the family relationships, not just between husband and wife, but the brokenness that is often evident at times like Christmas. That sense that things are not right. Cursed. This past week, I visited Ken Van Grau at his new room at Happy Siesta in Remsen. He's no longer living in Prime Living. He's taken a turn for the worse. And when I came in and sat down, I was listening to Ken, and I asked him if I could share this with you, and he agreed. He feels that curse in his bones. His kidneys are beginning to fail, complications from all the heart issues. He was talking with hospice the day before I got there, signing up for its care. I don't think he's in immediate danger of death, but it's hovering there. He told me, he said, I've never gone from 60 to zero so quickly in my life. A sense of curse. A sense of death in that verdant garden. Others of us feel that curse in other ways. As we mentioned in our prayer this morning, two families in our midst this morning who have dealt with funerals, my own wife's family, the Orban family, a sense of loss at Christmas time, a sense of people not being there anymore, the curse now of 2018, a curse. And we all know that feeling of gathering around the Christmas table, looking up from our mashed potatoes and our ham, and seeing that empty chair. That's where Dad used to sit. Or seeing the Corningware pot overflowing with the yams. Oh, that's how my mom always made sweet potatoes with the little marshmallows on top. And that sense of grief, that sense of curse. Curse. Because Eve's story, Adam's story, is our own story. We have tasted the bitter fruit, and it sits in our stomachs, in our bellies. And things are not right in this world. Curse. We can feel it in our bones. And I sometimes wonder if Mary could feel the curse in her bones. You know, we often picture Mary in sort of contemplative kind of ways. And it's probably from Christian iconography, Christian pictures. But of course, the sort of lady stretched back with the marbled brow that has no sweat on it, listening to Gabriel's words, "You are going to have a son. Oh, how can this be? I've not been with a man. Oh, it'll be a miracle. Oh, yes. Behold, the Lord's maidservant, let it be to me as you say." And Gabriel folding his hands and nodding primly and then fluttering away. But I wonder, is that really how Mary felt in that moment? Because I think this morning our text suggests something else. There's a detail in it that you may have missed as I read through it this morning. But we are told that no sooner does Mary hear this word from the angel than with haste she speeds to the town in the hill country of Judea. The NIV up on the screen says, Mary got ready and hurried. Literally in Greek it says, metaspoudis, spoudis, where we get our word speed. She runs to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, of course, theologians have found all sorts of nice, pious ways of explaining this. Oh, see, Mary's great, amazing faith. She's headed to, you know, confirm God's promises. She's so excited. And it could be that this is her excitement in the moment. But people who are filled with unshakable certainty rarely run. 4 days of running. It's a 100-mile journey, running. Her feet raw with the hurry, the blisters, sprinting towards her cousin Elizabeth. And why her cousin Elizabeth? Why is she going here? Why is she running here? And this is why I have my doubts. This is why I wonder whether our sort of kind of haloed moment with Mary is a little bit off the mark. Because remember what the angel had told her, Gabriel had told her. You're going to have a son. And she, of course, is baffled. She's roiling within herself, the story says. And he says, and your own cousin Elizabeth, your sterile cousin Elizabeth, has conceived a child. She's 6 months pregnant. Gabriel gives this as a sign to Mary, a sign that her own impossible pregnancy could be possible because of Elizabeth's impossible pregnancy. Why is she running to the hill country of Judea? Why is she running to Elizabeth? Does she have a sense of dread as she packs her bags and runs? Remember, in her culture, a young woman pregnant out of wedlock, and not just out of wedlock, but breaking her fiance's arrangement with her, she could be liable to death. Does she feel a sense of curse? Oh, you're blessed, you're favored among all women, says the angel. And is she thinking, I don't know about that? She takes off running to see if it's true. Feet slapping against the Roman roads, sprinting again through those last few miles to see Elizabeth, to know if it is true. All the while, the curse, the sense of death hanging over her. And then there it is, up on the hilltop, Zachariah's home. She bursts through the door. Her rough skirt swings wide over the packed earthen floor. And there is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who is pregnant. There before the hearth, the bags under the eyes, the swollen ankles, the one who stands up now and says, blessed are you. Blessed. Mary runs in with the fear of a curse hanging over her, a sense of dread. Was the angel telling the truth? Was this just some crazy vision I had? An anxious teenage girl bursts through the door, gasps out a hello, and the Holy Spirit rushes upon Elizabeth, and she prophesies to the young teenage girl, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your belly. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your belly. In that moment, God blesses Mary. You are blessed. You are not cursed. The curse is real, yes, but the blessing is more real. And in this moment, the triune God reverses everything. For now there is a new Eve there, a new Eve who does believe, no matter how feeble her faith, one who does believe enough to run to her cousin in the hill country. She believes. And now it is the fruit that is in her belly that will be her salvation, her peace, her hope. Everything reversed. You are blessed, says Elizabeth. And Elizabeth continues on, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For as soon as you crossed the threshold, as soon as you shouted hello, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, exulted in joy, literally. Happy is she who has believed that God would do what he promised. God assures Mary that the curse does not hang over her anymore. For now it is time for the new Eve to stretch out her hand toward the tree of life, to take that fruit that is in her belly already. Take away the angel with the flashing sword, for new life has come. The curse is being reversed and upended. There is hope in this world again. There is hope. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your belly. And it's only in this moment now that Mary sings, and we didn't read it this morning, but she sings her famous song, "My spirit exalts in God my Savior, for he has looked upon me. He's looked upon his people with mercy. He has flipped the world upside down. He has knocked down the world rulers, the powers of this age. He has raised up the poor. He has fed the hungry and sent the rich away empty." Eden is beginning all over again, all because of the fruit of my womb. And brothers and sisters, we are blessed this morning also in Mary and with Mary because of the fruit of her womb. The mother of all who believes, we are blessed with her because of the coming one, the blessed one, the one who is the fruit of life himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life. And so as we run through this dark world with that sense of curse hanging over us, the sense of our own bodies failing, the sense of lost loved ones, the sense of breaks within our relationships, as our feet beat down the Roman roads, raw with hurry and worry, as we see Zechariah's house on the hill and burst through that door, our skirt sailing wide over the packed earth, gasping out a hello, the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and speaks a word to us this morning. Blessed are you among all people, and blessed is the fruit of Mary's womb. Blessed are you because of the fruit of Mary's womb. Blessed is Ken Van Grau out of all men. Blessed is Jason Orban's family out of families. Blessed is Karen DeLapp's family out of families. Blessed are all of us who groan and feel the curse in our bones. Blessed because of the fruit of Mary's womb. Blessed are we in Jesus. Blessed, not cursed. The curse is real. We know it's pain. But the blessing is more real. All is being reversed. All is being overturned. Blessed are you this morning. Blessed, not cursed. Because of him who is the resurrection and the life. Because of him who is the fruit of Mary's womb, the tree of life itself. Jesus, the resurrected one. You know, there is a lot of times where churches will hold blue Christmases, a sense of that curse, blue Christmas services, I should say, a sense of that curse hanging over us, of lost loved ones, of the sins against us in this world. Yes, we feel it at Christmas time. But hold out hope, because Mary's son has come. The fruit of her womb has triumphed and brought life into this old world. The curse is beginning to be undone. And brothers and sisters, he is our good news. He is always our gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. In response to God's word this morning, I would invite you to stand and sing, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the fruit of Mary's womb, the one who brings us life. We sing this song with longing, with the sense of the curse in our bones, longing and yet hope. Will you stand and sing this morning? Brothers and sisters, as you now go forth in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God in this world, go forth in hope, the hope found in the fruit of Mary's belly, the hope that overcomes the curse that we feel in our lives. The curse is real, but it's not the last word. Blessing is the last word in Jesus. So go forth in that hope this week as we celebrate the one who came, the fruit of Mary's womb, Jesus. Go forth in hope, life, and love to serve and to live as Christ's people. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen. Amen.